The war of words between North Korea and the United States continues to escalate. In his latest comments, Kim Jong-un said President Trump will pay dearly for his UN speech this week, in which he threatened to totally destroy the North if the U.S. is forced to defend itself against Kim's nuclear weapons. Kim also called President Trump a mentally deranged dotard. Dotard means a person in a feeble or childish state due to old age. Jim Walsh is here now, security analyst. He's with MIT's Security Studies Program, and he joins us in the studio. Hi, Jim.
How are you?
I'm doing well. And the BBC describes what Kim said about President Trump as an unprecedented personal statement. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I was online late last night with colleagues who study North Korea, many of them who've studied it longer than I have, and that's in my case, that's 15 years. And they were very struck by this. That sent off a lot of flashing red lights for them. It was personalized. He was speaking in the first person. He was giving a public address, and basically he's taking ownership of these threats. It's not the North Korean government issuing him. It's not the North Korean military. It's the chairman. And that is unusual.
And what about President Trump's response, calling Kim a madman and saying he'll be tested like never before?
Well, I just don't know what that gets you. I think my own view is Kim is more calculating than crazy. But if you thought he was crazy, is it a good idea to call a crazy person crazy? You know, I just don't know what the strategy is there.
Well, the U.S. yesterday announced new sanctions against North Korea. This has been the strategy all along, is to try to increase economic sanctions and put pressure on the North. But is there any hope that new sanctions are going to do anything that previous sanctions have not?
Well, certainly not in a time frame that would matter. So when you're imposing sanctions, you say, I'm going to hurt you, and I expect you to change your behavior. But the question is, when? Is it going to be tomorrow? Is it going to be a year from now? Is it going to be 5 years from now? Well, I can tell you in a year they'll have a lot more missiles and more nuclear tests. So we seem to have a disconnect. They seem to be able to build missiles faster than we can impose sanctions that would somehow impede that.
We've also been talking as a country about our ability to shoot down North Korean missiles, although you would wonder, if we have that ability, why haven't we been shooting them down when they shoot them over Japan, for example?
Well, I think there's a real question whether we have that ability. And I've had this conversation with friends. So look at what that world looks like. They shoot a missile, and then one of two things happens. Either we miss, and sort of all the extended deterrence, all our reassurance to our allies, the Japanese and the South Koreans, they wake up the next morning thinking, oh my God, we're not defended. Or it works, and then the pressure is to shoot down every one of them.
Right.
And then you will eventually miss, which brings you back to step one.
One of the things that the U.S. has been saying is that China needs to do more. China and Russia are urging restraint from both sides. Could these two countries do anything concrete to tamp this down?
Yes, and you'll notice that President Trump threw a bone to both of them, thanking them in his UN speech for what they had done. Allegedly, or at least Mr. Trump has reported that the Chinese have agreed to cut off all banking to North Korean customers. You know, based on my team's interviews with North Korean defectors, I think the North Koreans are simply going to do a countermeasure, the same one they've always used, which is they'll just hire private Chinese companies to do the work for them. And so that's where I think the Chinese really need to get more active, is going after Chinese firms that are doing all the work for the North Koreans.
The North Korean foreign minister said that North Korea could test a hydrogen bomb in the Pacific. If they were to do that, would it require a military response from the U.S.?
Well, it wouldn't require it. I mean, you know, the devil is in the details here. The U.S., France, Britain, we all conducted above-ground nuclear testing for years and years back in the day. You know, if they have a test that's way out in the middle of the ocean and no one gets hurt, you know, is that really a justification for nuking them or attacking them or launching a missile that then turns into a broader war? I think that becomes a very difficult decision.
You know, after President Trump used his famous fire and fury language on North Korea, we then learned that, in fact, there were some behind-the-scenes negotiations going on between the U.S. and North Korea. Do you think that's happening here, too?
Well, I certainly hope so. Unfortunately, there have been several pronouncements, some out of the White House and some out of Japan, saying the time for talking is over. It seems to me when things are really, really delicate and there are a lot of moving parts and someone can make a mistake, that's actually the time you want to be talking to people. That's when you need to be talking to people, if only to protect your own self-interest. They have had talks in the past. That's how Otto Warmbier got home. I would hope that they are continuing to have conversations so that no one makes a mistake here.
Scale of 1 to 10, Jim, how worried are you right now about the situation?
I'm more worried. I'm more worried. I'm not going to give you a number.
Okay. That's Jim Walsh, here now security analyst with the MIT Security Studies Program. Thank you very much.
Thank you.